Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, day three. You doing all right over there, Dusty?
Hey, it's all about showbiz, is what somebody once told me about 5:45 this morning. Yeah, we're good. You brought the hat back, didn't get it stolen last night. Shades on today. You must have shown some cleavage last night.
I did. I was bearing it all last night on Bourbon Street. I got my beads, got my sunglasses on.
You got some good cleavage because they light up.
They do. They light up very nicely. They got a battery in them and everything, and they're lighting up, baby. We had ourselves a time. We left here at 10 o'clock and haven't stopped since, well, I lied, but no, yeah. I can't.
Since 10 o'clock.
since about 10 o'clock. Yeah, no, since about 10 o'clock.
If New Orleans was a mosquito, it has officially bitten Bob, and he has the virus.
Yes, I do.
He just had a captain's hat on. Today he comes in with shades and beads.
And the Brett Beachtown shirt. We got a movement going on in New Orleans, baby. We're going to turn this thing into Brett Beachtown before we know it, you know?
That's right.
Yeah, Wednesday hit, and we all decided, all right, Chiefs gear, it's time. We're all in Chiefs shirts
today. I'm Chiefs gear all week, man. I went out and bought some new Chiefs gear on Friday to get myself ready to go for the event because I knew we'd be wearing a lot of it. I also overpack and all that kind of stuff, too. But I'm like, today's Brett Beachtown day because I'm tired of hearing about Howie Roseman. Everywhere I go, Howie Roseman, Howie Roseman, Howie Roseman, Howie Roseman, Howie Roseman. Brett Veach is pretty damn good too, if not better than Howie Roseman. So we're gonna cement our flag, I guess, as they say, plant our flag in New Orleans and declare this Brett Veach town. Howie Roseman, see you later, buddy.
Well, that didn't work for Michigan.
No, not.
But
no.
That's college.
Yes, it is.
This is a professional league. We are broadcasting live from Radio Row in New Orleans, thanks to our friends at Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of your Kansas City Chiefs. Bud Light, easy to drink, easy to enjoy. Drink responsibly. So, again, we try to give people the scene of what the town is like for us every single day. Yesterday was kind of like the appetizer of the, I don't know, like the downhill effect. I know people are like, it's only Wednesday.
Right.
But here, Monday is such a long, exhausting, you know, drawn-out day because no one knows if they're going to stay connected. Nobody knows if they're going to be able to pop up and go through their own town. No one knows what's going to happen, who's going to show up. And then yesterday, more and more people show up. We kind of did our thing. We went and, explored the town via foot.
Mm-hmm.
Went and got the etouffee, went and got the beignets. They were fantastic. I will say this. It's kind of just funnel cake.
Well, that's what it is, of course. Okay. Yeah, but it's like you have to do it. And we went to Cafe Du Monde, which is like it's the tourist spot, right? I mean, you got to do that kind of stuff in town. And again, for those kind of just joining Dusty and Mac, their first trip to New Orleans, so I'm kind of taking them around, been here a couple of times. And I'm like, we got to go to all the tourist spots. Like, you got to see this stuff, right? Like, because first of all, as you said to me yesterday, which I do disagree with a little bit, you go, I don't know if I'll ever be back here. You'll be back. I guarantee you'll be. I promise you, because I've always said, I'll never be back. And then you find yourself.
Well, I mean,
back, right?
I mean more so like kind of out of context. I mean more so just like if I can get my friends, because I'm going to be honest with you, like this isn't everybody's cup of tea.
No,
here.
It's definitely not. No,
right?
100%.
Like
yes.
My sister went to Vegas for the first time 2 years ago. She's like, yeah, that's a one and done for
one
me.
And done, yeah.
Some people go to New York. They're like, oh, I went to Times Square, went to Central Park.
Right.
I'm good.
You're good.
Sure. I would come back personally.
Right.
I don't know how many of my friends would be like, yeah, let's go to New Orleans, or how many people, and this is a real thing for New Orleans, I don't know how many people, like when they think about trips, they're like, Louisiana, New Orleans, Bourbon Street. Because what I think about when people go on vacation, it's always like warm weather and a beach.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's like, where can I go to like a cheap warm weather and a beach,
yeah,
right?
Sure.
Or West Coast, East Coast. Or you do the extravagant, you know, northern tour of like Wyoming, North Dakota, South Dakota. Not a lot of people are ever like, we're going to go to New Orleans this summer. What I've seen.
Stay away this summer.
No, yeah, stay away. Go in the wintertime.
April's about your line.
Sorry, Kansas City. I know the weather's bad. I hope you're all being safe.
Hope everybody's safe today. Seriously, yeah.
Yeah, because this is like the first time in my life where like I can't relate to my hometown because we woke up and it's like 65 degrees outside, and I get on my Twitter handle, and I'm starting to look at stuff, and it's like every news outlet's like, drizzle overnight. Roads have glaze of ice. I'm like, oh, luckily, Nathan, safe and sound. Got to the studio good and everything. But, like, no. I mean, trust me, I want to come back.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'll ever come back because, you know, it's not everybody's cup of tea.
No, it isn't. But it's such a great place to eat and hang out and be part of, like, a great place to be when there's not something going on. There's always something going on in New Orleans. So, I like anywhere I go, I'm a big, let's see all the stuff that you see on TV that you've heard of. Like, I'm not one of these guys, oh, that's a tourist attraction. I've got a better place around the corner. Now, okay, maybe a couple of times we can do that. But you've got to see the important things and do the important things in a town so you can say you've had those life experiences, right? And so Café Du Monde, one of the places you're supposed to go.
The original coffee stuff.
And the coffee's phenomenal, by the way. It may have been the best iced coffee I've ever had in my entire life. But so we get there, and it's beignets, and it is. It's fried dough with powdered sugar out of there.
Yeah, I was like, I mean, I don't mean to, like, sound ungrateful or, like, unappreciative, but I took my first bite, and I was like, I've had this before.
Yeah,
you're going to be mad at me.
It's a thicker funnel cake, though.
Yeah, but
and it's delicious. It's fried dough. You know, it's awesome. And you took mine, by the way. You took my whole bag of beignets, and I kind of needed them last night when I arrived back home. It's a good thing I stole that king cake from the media party last night to have something to munch on.
But did you enjoy that? Because that was your first king cake.
It was. Yeah, it's all right. Yeah, fine. Like, you know, whatever, fine. Right. But the beignets, I could sit there and eat those all day. That's why I was 300 pounds at one point.
Are there any left, or did you crush them all?
Did you crush them all? Well, you're going to have to go back. You're going to have to go back and get another
bag. There was a delay and an eye roll, so there's none left.
There's none left. Of course not.
You have children. Yeah. Like, you know how that works.
Oh, I know how that works.
Did you eat them all? I don't think so.
I don't remember. He is my child. I did just say that. I mean,
a lot of powdered sugar, too. Like, a lot of people thought I ran into Tony Montana before.
Right.
I was like, trust me, I would go right back and do all the rest of the shows the rest of the week if that was the case.
Here's your plate of white powdery substance with some fried dough underneath it.
How much fentanyl's in this?
Yeah, like, oh, my God. So we did that at Café Du Monde, and then we walked on Bourbon Street. They got the opportunity to see the French Quarter for the first time and be down there. And I will say this. I know there's a lot of people that are wondering about the security issues and everything that's taking
everywhere.
Place.
Everywhere.
Every intersection in the French Quarter was blocked off, and security, army, tanks, military trucks, armed guards, weapons. You feel safe down here in New Orleans. They're doing an unbelievable job of making sure this city is protected from everything that happened on January 1st. And you even noticed it. Like, I didn't notice it. The memorial that was set up on Bourbon Street. And all of a sudden, you're like, and the chills. And you see the memorial of the events that took place on January 1st.
I know this sounds morbid. You could still smell the flowers.
Yeah, exactly.
When I walked by, I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. And I looked over, and I was like, what a small area. What a terrible person for doing something like this, because he knew exactly where he was going.
Yep.
Because when we walked through there, the CVS he had to go into was right there on the right. And I walked down that alley, and, I mean, it was tiny. So that guy's just knew what he was doing. Yep. And then you kind of look over, and then there's a guy preaching. You look to your right, there's the memorial, and I'm just like, oh, boy, I wasn't expecting this.
Yeah, I mean, like the military presence is intense. It is a level 2, and it probably will end up being a level 1 Homeland Security event with the president coming to the Super Bowl. The first sitting president ever in the history of the United States at the Super Bowl. I never knew
that.
Yeah, it's the first one. I had no idea. So the president's going to be here as well. Security is going to get ramped up as the weeks go on. And if you are coming down, which I know a lot of people are, because all the nonstop flights begin, I think, tomorrow and Friday and Saturday.
Okay.
So everybody's going to start coming down here. Please do not worry. You're going to feel safe if you're in the French Quarter. Every street is legitimately like you're trying to get onto a military base. And it is every single intersection is manned and covered and protected. And it's great. And I feel
it's
really
like everywhere
safe,
you
right?
turn.
Yeah.
You turn, you're like, oh, God.
Yeah. Like, you can't go anywhere, man.
Yeah,
and not feel unsafe, which is fantastic, which is what they need to do because somebody messes it up for everybody. So those that are coming down, you're going to feel safe. You're going to feel great. And I don't know. What'd you think, man? You had your first Bourbon Street experience Tuesday afternoon at about, you know, noon. So it's a little bit different than what Friday night's going to be when we're down there.
Yeah.
But you had your first kind of like, wow, this is like, I've seen this before.
The way I kind of look at it is like, it's like going to Fremont Street in the day for the first time in Vegas, right? Like, you're going to see it so you kind of know what it is. When we go Friday, it's going to look completely different because, I mean, you've been to Fremont Street in the day, you've been to Fremont Street at night, right?
Yeah. Like, it's completely different.
The freaks come out at night is like what they like to say.
Yeah.
No, I really love this town, and it's not everybody's cup of tea, like I said earlier. But if you like to get a little freaky, you like a little funk, you like a little, you know, like Danon says, junky and funky, right here, baby. Because yesterday, you know, we knock out a lot of things. Hurricane.
Right.
Etouffee.
Right.
Beignets.
Beignets.
John Gruden.
Yeah, and John Gruden, right. Like, John Gruden, we're in this restaurant. We're the only ones in there eating.
Oh,
and
man.
Our waitress, we're sitting on the balcony, of course, because, again, that's what you do.
Yeah.
You go overpay for a sandwich to
the
sit on the balcony.
The only ones.
Right? The only people in this restaurant.
And, up three floors of stairs.
Oh, my goodness. And this waitress comes up. She goes, yeah, there's a former coach down there. He coached, like, I think the Redskins in Tampa. I don't really know who it is. And we're like, who
well,
the hell
and
could
even
that
more
be?
So, she has the New Orleans accent.
Right.
So she's like, you know, right now. You're like, oh, yeah. Washington
who?
And Tampa?
Yeah, I don't know. So we're like,
Jay?
Jay Gruden. I don't know. So I go downstairs because I get curious at that time, or maybe I was trying to find cocktail sauce. I think that's what
that's
it was.
What
I was,
it
was looking for the cocktail sauce. And I go down there, and sure enough, there's John Gruden sitting at the bar, like just kind of holding court. We're like, hey, John Gruden, come on up and talk to us. And he couldn't have been better. He was awesome. And he was just kind of going in and out of Bourbon Street and, you know, doing his thing and getting kind of his taste of, you know, Bourbon Street. But, you know, that's the first of, like, what you're going to be like, oh, my God, that's so-and-so, or oh, my God, because this Super Bowl just feels bigger than the other ones because of where it's located. It's not in L.A. It's not Phoenix. It's not one of these places like Las Vegas where everything is spread out. Everything is compact. Everything is centralized. Everything is here, and everybody's going to be in that one spot. And that's why I love New Orleans for the host site of the Super Bowl, because they do just an unbelievable job, and everybody's together.
I mean, it is the Big Easy, and it seems like everybody's kind of like an easy mindset down here. Everybody's kind of like happy and flowing. Like, we had the media party last night. That was great. There was, like, little food kiosks everywhere.
Oh, God, yes. The chicken sandwich we had may have been the best chicken sandwich
we've ever. They sold
out. Did they really?
They shut down. I think Mac was there with me. I think it was, like, 7:45 because Mac was like, one more chicken sandwich before you leave. And I was like,
7:45.
Or I'm sorry, it was like 8:45 when it shut down. Like, we're looking over. Like, I think you left at like 9.
Yeah, I left
15,
right about 9 o'clock or so last night.
And then
night,
we left at 10:30. We kind of toured it around one more time. And, you know.
Did you get any more food after I left?
We did, yeah, because, I mean, we just couldn't stop. You
know?
We're out there on a whole other. That was kind of the first night where it's like, you know, we kind of looked at each other like, should we let loose a little bit? And Max's like, yeah, dude, like, we don't have to get up as early. And I was like, all right, let's do it. And so, like, this group of guys, like, pulled Mac in, like, he was their child, and they started, like, doing shots with him. He comes back, he's like, brother, those were a little stronger than I expected. I was like, well, it was a shot, you know, like, I mean, you know, whatever. So we did that, and then we went back, got some more oysters with that cocktail sauce.
Oh, that one knocked me on my ass last night because it was like an oyster with, like, margarita stuff on it. And it got to hit a horse.
I thought I was going to do, like, CPR, man. You took it, it hit you, like, right. That's one thing, like, I don't know what hits quicker, horseradish or, like, Tyson in 92.
Yeah,
like,
Tyson in 92.
As soon as
probably.
That thing hit your mouth, like, you were out, and I was like, got him.
Yep.
And, like, they were like, yep, it'll do it. And he walks off or whatever. But, no, it was fun. We went around, talked to some more people. There were some funky bands playing.
The bands are great down here. I can't wait to take you on Friday to Frenchman Street and just sit there and watch these bands play. And it's Zydeco music when you're having a couple of cocktails in New Orleans.
Yeah.
It's great. You get back to KC on a Tuesday and you listen to it. You're like, what the hell is this music, you know? So, anyway, so we're having a good time. We're getting a good start to the week. And,
yeah.
And I think it's going to be great for everybody down here. And I think, and we'll get more into this as we go along, I'm starting to sense, man, this is our game. This is our effing game on Sunday afternoon. It just starting to trend in that direction where I feel like there's so much still on the Philadelphia side, and hearing people talk about the Eagles, I'm like, man, the Chiefs are keeping quiet and they're going to come out and they're just going to deliver. I don't want to use the term a beatdown because I don't know that it is going to be something like that, but this is Patrick's legacy game, brother. This is Patrick's legacy game, and when Patrick has something on the line, he takes control, and because it's his legacy game, 35-0 Chiefs.
That's fair. Stay true to yourself.
That's right.
Hell yeah.
I will say this, our buddy Olse, he texted, said the entire offensive line brought back 30 bags of beignets.
30 apiece.
Or, yeah, each guy got like 10.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, yeah, I mean, gee, many.
But that's the cool thing about New Orleans. How many stories have we already heard through 2 days of people locally going, I saw this guy, or I saw that guy, or I saw this guy, and I saw that guy? Like, the players are out.
Let me tell you something, man. And Gruden's biggest fan, not going to lie, true story, Mac Morey.
Yeah.
He goes, I like Mac. He's got a good radio voice.
Yeah.
I said, are you the host, man?
Not yet. I like that sailor head, man. Why don't I knock you the frick out and I'll take it from you, man. I'll do a hook right, banana Z-jet right.
Yeah.
Big game coverage on 96.5. The Fan is brought to you by Community America Credit Union. Member owned, open to all, invested in you. Join today at communityamerica.com. There is a possibility John Gruden could join us Friday.
Friday.
So keep your ears open. By the way, Kansas City, drive safe. Don't let those roads make you a victim. Take your time getting to work and listen to us, Fesco and Dusty, on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. Diving right back into it here live from Radio Row. We are live in New Orleans, brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors. Kansas City is gearing up for their third straight title, and Academy Sports and Outdoors has everything you need to rep your team during this historic run, legacy run, whatever type of run you want to talk about when it comes to these two teams. Look, Philly hasn't won one in a while. Last time they won it was Nick Foles against the New England Patriots, where they beat a dynasty.
That's right.
Not going to lie.
Yep.
Gives me a little bit of, you know,
little pause.
Yeah, a little bit of whatever. This is the Kansas City Chiefs in the midst of, you know, Patrick Mahomes' career, 29 years old. I want to bring this up because we talked about this vaguely not too long ago about how every single trophy kind of seems to have a owner of it, right? Like, I know it's the Lamar Hunt trophy, right? Or not the Lamar Hunt trophy. It's the
Lombardi
trophy.
Soon to be the Tom Brady trophy if Adam Schefter has his way.
Right?
Yeah.
Small guy.
All the insiders in every sport are tiny. I mean, I'm telling you.
Yeah. Yeah, Rapport, Schefter.
Wait till you see
Jay
Ken
Glazer.
Rosenthal in baseball season. Yeah.
I have seen Tim Kirkshen. Also, anyways, I'm getting sidetracked. Anyways, so every year there seems to be somebody that the trophy is for. I know that sounds, I don't know, maybe a little bit bizarre, but you think about the first one, that was for Andy.
Right.
Right, never had a trophy. You know, had gotten to the Super Bowl, hadn't won one as a head coach, got it in that year.
And I'll just jump in and say, like, during that Super Bowl week in Miami, that's literally what everybody was saying in Miami, whether it was Chiefs-related, 49er-related, whether it was national, local, everybody was saying, hey, man, it'd be great to get Andy his first Super Bowl. Great for Andy, great for Andy, great for Andy, right? He got it.
The second trophy was kind of for the city. That's kind of the way they presented it, at least at the parade that year. They were like, this one's for you guys, this is for the city, whatever it might have been. Last year's trophy for the Hunt family.
Right.
Like, that was kind of like theirs. They had lost the grandmother. Norma was passed and gone. And they kind of like embraced that title run and like back to back. You know, we did it. We claimed ourselves as a dynasty in the NFL's history. Like, that starts with the Hunt family.
Right.
That's
Absolutely.
Just the way football goes. Ownership, team, all that. Mm-hmm. You win your third in four years. And you went back to back and solidified because last year was a conversation.
Right.
Are they a dynasty? Well, they got to win the third to be a dynasty. Well, they did. And then we bring in, you know, the conversation that we had yesterday where Mahomes just looked annoyed. Was like, I got to go through all these BS questions. I got to go through all this stuff. Like, it's, some of it's cool and probably is enjoying it the way he can, but also is ready to play the game.
Right. He is.
This is for a three-peat. This is a historic run. You don't win these three-peats. You don't win a lot of these trophies if you don't have a quarterback. A quarterback that is humble and a leader, and it kind of just seems like this is the one for Patrick. Like, when he's on the stage last year with Chris Jones, after winning a back-to-back title, during the confetti still falling, and I know that stuff probably falls forever, but it's still falling. Kid in arm, Jones to his left, wife, Travis, he's going nuts, it's Vegas. Hey, let's go win another one next year. It's never been done before. Let's go win another one next year. Like, literally be like me, hearing Freebird play in the background at 9:57, and I'd be like, hey, here's the lead for tomorrow's show. You'd be like, calm down. We got to pace ourselves.
Right.
But that's how eager I can get to tomorrow. But Patrick Mahomes here for a three-peat, this one feels like it's for Patrick.
No, it is. This, like I said, you know, kind of end last segment, this is a legacy game for Patrick Mahomes, and this is all about Patrick Mahomes. And when Patrick came into this league, I remember having conversations, you know, with people over time, and you start to hear stories and have conversations with, you know, those in the know and that kind of stuff. And, you know, one of the conversations was how in tune Patrick Mahomes was to the history of the NFL and to, you know, doing what it took to be the greatest of all time. And when you hear that early on in the stages of their career, you kind of just smile and you go, that's great, man. I love it. Go for it. You go be the best of all time.
Yeah.
But you know what? This is the moment that they've been talking about for all these years when they have conversations about Patrick Mahomes, and people who know Patrick talk to me about Patrick and they say, this is what it is. This is what it's about. This is what he's driving for. He is so cognizant of everything that has happened in the NFL from a historical perspective, and he wants to be one notch better than everything. And this is that game to get him to that level where he is one notch better than every other quarterback that ever played the game. again, I know Tom Brady has 7 championships, but he's never done this. He's never won 3 in a row. And that's why I'm so bullish on this organization. We were talking to a buddy of ours last night at the media party, who's a big Chiefs fan, PR guy, you know, does the Radio Row thing, but I've known the guy for years. His name is Andrew. And he came up to me, he goes, "Are you ever going to pick the Chiefs to lose?" He goes, "Like, you're driving me nuts for the last 7 years."
No, I went 15-1 this year.
And that's what I said to him. And he just kind of collapsed. He's like, "All right, fine, you're right about that." He goes, "But you ever?" I'm like, "No, I'm never going to pick this team to lose, because in my line of sight, I'm looking at Patrick Mahomes right now, this huge banner of Patrick Mahomes. And I know every moment of his waking hours since the last time they won that Super Bowl in Las Vegas a year ago has been focused on this. And are you going to tell me that Patrick Mahomes isn't going to go out there and deliver on what he's been looking forward to for the last year, to change his legacy, to change the team's legacy, to change Andy Reid's legacy? But most importantly, this is Patrick Mahomes' seminal moment. This is his Super Bowl. And if he wins it, he goes down in history as the greatest of all time, the first to ever do it, and maybe nobody ever does it again.
I can't say that he's the greatest of all time yet. And again, I'm not trying to be a hater. There's so much Tom Brady did that Patrick Mahomes still is yet to accomplish.
Yep.
And I know Brady never won a 3-peat, but Brady won 7 rings. Mm-hmm. And Patrick, this would be 4. So that's why I think there's a lot. I think there's a lot on the line, and I think that's why this one is essentially for Patrick Mahomes. I know that, like, if you were to ask him, obviously he would never say, like, "I really, really..." Actually, he might say that. But, like, kind of get the theme that, like, this is kind of for you. This is, like, your big day. This is, like, what can make you and solidify you. I mean, because this is, not to let it be, you know, sugarcoated like a beignet, but, like, the way that this game is, like, it will still be Tom Brady, but it will eliminate everyone below Patrick Mahomes. And you say, "Well, yeah, obviously, but think about it. That's Montana, that's Marino, that's Elway, that's Favre, that's Breeze, that's all these great quarterbacks that put in 10-plus years outside of Tom Brady, who put in 25 or whatever it was. Like, that's it. Like, literally, that's it." And it's nuts because, you know, I always go back and I think about, like, when LeBron went to Miami. It was, no matter how you look at it, it was disappointing. He should have won 4 titles. I think he won 2.
Oh, I don't think that was a successful run at all. That
right.
With what they put together, you got to capitalize.
And, you know, I mean, the one he wins in Cleveland, solidification.
Right.
Right. That was, then it was like Jordan, and then you can have your discussion of LeBron or Kobe, but everybody that had a right sense of mind was like, "That's LeBron." Yeah.
Because he did something no one had ever did.
Won a title in Cleveland, right?
And came back from 3-1. No one had ever come back in a finals.
And really won it by himself, too.
Yes.
Because,
well,
you know,
Kyrie was pretty big in that series.
Like, LeBron is going to be the guy. Nobody's going to talk about Kyrie Irving when the day's over, right? Like, it's always going to be about LeBron
100%.
James. And as good as Travis Kelce is and Hollywood Brown and all these other guys, when the day's over, when we talk about this Super Bowl in historical contexts and we look back on everything that's, you know, taken place, it's always going to be the Patrick Mahomes era. Just like it is in New England. It's Tom Brady and a rotating cast of thousands. And that's what it is here in Kansas City. It's Patrick Mahomes and a rotating cast of thousands. And so that's why when it's all said and done, he gets this thing, he gets this third Super Bowl, it is that legacy bowl for Patrick Mahomes. And again, I don't mean to, you know, you kind of repeat myself over and over again, but man, the sense that I got on Monday night just talking with people inside that organization about how dialed in Patrick Mahomes is and how ready Patrick Mahomes is to go for this game is just wild and crazy, man. It's a different level right now with Patrick Mahomes. And Patrick Mahomes at a normal level is scary. Patrick Mahomes at a Patrick Mahomes level now should be very scary to everybody else.
And it's also very nice to have Patrick Mahomes because he makes everybody's job within the building a lot easier, right?
Yes, like, he does.
If Brett Veach failed, you wouldn't have a shirt on right now.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, if Patrick Mahomes wasn't Patrick Mahomes, you wouldn't have that shirt on right now.
That's exactly
right. That song would have never existed.
Right.
Andy Reid, who knows? Maybe it looks like Philadelphia all over again in Kansas City.
Right.
It doesn't. Patrick Mahomes is nice because he makes everybody else's job nicer. And, you know, general managers are hard to find, those guys. And we talked the other day.
Yeah, Thomas Dimitrio, former general manager of the Atlanta Falcons, is now, you know, doing analytics stuff, trying to find a way to kind of have a niche in the game without having to be a general manager. And we talked to him about that. You're doing a lot of analytical stuff, aren't you, Thomas?
Doing crazy things. We have over 600 years of experience. I didn't share with you, but that's former coaches, former scouts, and a lot of data people. We're a combination basically subjective, the scout's eye, and objective, a lot of the data. And we mix that together and we create algorithms and sell back to the NFL and NCAA with the portal and NIL work.
No, nice. So, you've gotten into that world and you got some NIL athletes under your...
Well, we're working at it. It's fascinating, but it's also frustrating at times, right? Just the way that the NCAA is going. You have to be on top of it all. And that's where we think we can help.
Yeah, help do that.
When you look at these two teams and knowing your past, being a general manager, and you see like a guy like Patrick Mahomes, how nice is it to be Brett Veach when you find that guy and it works out like that?
That's a great feeling, right? When you when you know you're gauged as a GM, you are always gauged by your quarterback acquisitions, and your maintenance of the quarterback position. That is such a good feeling. So that's not on your mind. The GMs out there that don't have the quarterback, not only are they worried about not winning games, they know they're going to be judged, and their contract is going to be judged off of how they've dealt with the quarterback. I mean, even the data can say, well, the Eagles are statistically this, but the X factor of Patrick is unbelievable, as you know.
Yeah, it really is. It takes it to a new level. I mean, you had a guy in Atlanta, Matt Ryan, and had that quarterback down there. I don't want to say it makes your job easier, but you can go to bed and sleep a little bit easier knowing you got stability at the most important position in sports.
Yeah, and you build around that, right? Yeah. That's your focal point, and you make sure that you build around it. We did a lot of building around Matt Ryan. The reason that we felt, although he was very good, we traded. One of the biggest trades we had was Tony Gonzalez.
Right.
And I remember doing that trade with Pioli, and I'm like, look, man, there's nothing like it. We need a tight end for a young quarterback because it's such a high percentage shot. That's one of the areas I'll be interested to see what you guys are going to do in the future, you know, when Kelsey leaves, because I'm a big believer in teeing up. You always have to have that high percentage, legitimate athletic tight end, not just a Y.
When you look at these two teams in the Super Bowl, what do they do so right that other people seem to not do so right?
Well, I mean, obviously their approaches are very different. I mean, Howie Roseman's approach in Philly, he's the man there, right? He's the omnipotent one. Not saying that Brett doesn't have football power and list. He's just got a historic coach there, right? I think they both come to the table understanding what they need. They do a lot of work with the coaching staff to make sure that they're fitting the right players in and they're not just bringing in, hey, this guy's a really good talent, but he doesn't scheme fit.
Yeah, talking with Thomas Dimitrioff, former GM of the Atlanta Falcons, and you mentioned Brett and Howie, and I was kind of going on a tangent the other day. I'm like, everybody just throws rose petals at Howie Roseman's feet, like he's the greatest thing ever. Brett Veach is going for a three-peat here. Is it because of Andy Reid that Brett doesn't get the love and credit that he probably deserves as a GM in this league?
I would say that's...
And that's not a bad thing.
No, yeah. he gets a lot of credit. I mean, most people out there think he's at the top of his game and one of the best GMs out there, and he should.
Yeah.
He's a little bit younger than Howie. I mean, I don't even know how old Brett is now.
He's younger than I am. I think he's about 45.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's not like he's 38 or 35.
Right.
So he gets a lot of respect. I'm just sharing from our thing, our perspective. But because you have such a figurehead like Andy, I think it's one of those things when Andy ever decides to retire and Brett steps up, then people are going to take it like, hey, this is the guy who's now truly, totally in charge. But Brett does such great things as far as navigating that. There are a lot of people that couldn't navigate that.
Yeah.
That in and of itself is a big feather in his cap in my mind.
Well, and I think it's the ego, too. Like, check the ego at the door, understand. And that's why I think this organization works so well. I don't think there's an ego out there to be had, you know?
Seems that way, right? I mean, I think watching Brett over the years and what he's done and how he's approached that, and the players, I don't know. Who do you think, who's made the most noise? Maybe it's some of the guys I've gotten rid of, right? I think that's the way I look at it.
Yeah, like Tyreek Hill. When they traded Tyreek Hill, I'm like, great. And the fan base is melting down. Oh, my God, it's three straight Super Bowls now without Tyreek Hill. I'm a big believer, and you may appreciate this, everybody's expendable except for Patrick Mahomes on this team, right?
Like,
and thank you very much. And I'm always like, they can go. I even advocated trading Travis Kelce years ago because I knew inside the organization they're talking about everybody being available out there if it can make the organization better. And they trade Tyreek Hill, people are like, oh, they're done. And with Kadarius Toney being a wide receiver, you've got defenses not making plays. They find ways to get over the hump, and they find ways to get the job done.
The drop the hand in the bucket of water and pull it out. It all goes back together, but for Mahomes, for sure. I'm a completely believe what you're saying there. And look, this, I just come back to an organization that is so stout and thoughtful in a lot of ways. Starts from your owner. I mean, I saw him walking around here, and Clark, I just have such great respect for him and what he does and what he allows people to do there. And so I was a little bit taken aback last year. Was it last year when the NFLPA came back with that report?
Yes, it was at the end of last season. Yeah,
I was taken aback by that. I don't know how you guys all approached it in the media, or was it just a blip on the screen?
Because, yeah.
Again, what you're saying, unbelievable record. I mean, there are teams out there could only dream of thinking about that, let alone being close to it.
And we'll just go a little sidebar as we talk to Thomas Dimitrioff, former GM of the Falcons here. One of the things is they're getting ready to build a new complex in a new state. Why would you be investing money? Like, if you know you're getting rid of a car, you're not putting in a new transmission to run for another year or whatever, you
know?
That's
so true, right. I just think sometimes, as you know, the media out there and the fan base and the players probably glom onto that, right?
Yep.
Trying to figure out what's going on there. That's not what everyone wants to see that, right? The dips and the, you know, the darts being thrown. But
yeah, that's the way it goes. Yeah. So speaking of that, you've been around this game for a long time. You've worked with Scott Pioli. You've worked with Bill Belichick. You've worked with Nick Saban. Like, you've worked with some of the greats when it comes to college and professional head coaches. What's your best Belichick story?
Oh, my God. I remember coming in my first year there, and I came in as a national scout because I was coming from Cleveland. Because I had worked in the Browns and been around them, Pioli and I got along, and I was, you know, I was spreading. I was working on the grounds crew, so they remember me. So I go in as a scout.
Are you really? You started on the grounds crew?
Well, I was in the World League, and the World League went under. My dad was scouting for the Browns. There's a backdrop to it. So I was in between jobs. I was out spreading seed on the field during the days and mowing lawns and everything, and I would go up in the evenings and watch video with Pioli. That's how our relationship started, because I was all, you know, I was all a mess, and I'd go up there and spend a few hours on that every night, and I loved it. And so at that point, I finally get in the scouting world, but I go to New England to be their national scout. Bill has me up on the board. We're drilling down on, you know, massaging our draft board, and he is asking about Lawyer Malloy. You remember that name?
Yep,
of safety?
Of course, yeah.
And basically, I'm sitting there thinking, oh, my Lord, I have to make sure that I deliver the right message. So I go on to delivering a half-assed message about the lawyer still being good. And Bill just stopped me point blank, basically ripped the tag off the you know, the wall, and just said, absolutely not. You know, basically was saying to me, I want only candor here, and the reality, it's time to move on from Lawyer Malloy in this. And I remember that being the starting point. There were many more, believe me, but those were the starting points of, you deliver it, you know exactly what our team is. There's no like soft shoeing things with Bill, right?
Yeah.
What is it? You deliver your message, and you have to have a background with it. So that, it was holding everyone accountable. Do your effing job was always the line.
Yeah.
And that's a big thing you learn along the way, too.
How come that doesn't work outside of the Bill Belichick mold? Why has it been every coach that he's had doesn't do as well as he did? Like, what's the missing piece there?
I think there's one Bill Belichick, and I think the concepts make sense, but I think you have to understand when you go into a building as a coach. And a lot of the GMs, more GMs have worked out, right? So,
yeah.
You know, you look at John Robinson, who, you know, I know he got fired from Tennessee, but did a nice job there. And, you know, at Tampa, you have Jason Light, who's done a really good job. There's some people that have been out there. I think they took part of what was Belichickian and solid and stout, and the other parts that weren't their personalities, I think the ones that have been successful, they pulled that aside. That's important. I think on the coaching side, they're so ingrained in that, and they think they need to take the majority of everything, and it just does not work for every, you know, every head coach, you know, potential coach. So that's where I think it is. I just think it's making sure that you take what's right, and what's not right for you personally, you move aside.
Talk with Thomas Dimitrioff. If Patrick Mahomes wins this game on Sunday, is he the greatest of all time, passing Tom Brady, a guy you know pretty well?
I think he's neck and neck. That's the way I say it. You know, I don't think he passes him yet. But, I mean, it's unbelievable. Even in those games that are tough and bad, you guys see him all the time. You're like, he just pulls it off. That's the special one.
Yeah.
Right? We know that.
He is special, man. Yeah. And Andy Reid is as well. It's going to go down. I think it's the greatest head coach-quarterback combination.
I think it'll get there. Yes, for sure.
Thomas, thank you so much. We appreciate it. Tell people where they can find you one more time.
Sumer Sports, S-U-M-E-R, sports.com.
There it is, Thomas Dimitrioff saying it's going to get there. It's going to be the greatest head coach quarterback dynasty of all time. I think there's a lot of people that are afraid to say it now and make that impactful statement that it is the greatest of all time, because I do think people still have Patriot derangement syndrome, where they all are kind of intertwined to New England and feel like, oh, we always got to put Tom Brady and Bill Belichick up here. Because I did have somebody tell me with the organization over the last couple of days, what are they going to say about us now if we three-peat? Like, are they going to continue to push this bar and push this bar and push this bar, where no matter what the Chiefs do, they're never going to let them top the New England Patriots? Well, as I've said on numerous occasions, not on my watch, they win three in a row. See you, New England. Get the hell out of the way.
There's a big guest arriving today. at 4 o'clock. FedEx is going to drop off the Super Bowl trophy.
Super Bowl trophy's arriving today. Yep. That's right. Yep.
Lombardi steel, or what is it, the stainless steel?
Silver,
nice look. We should do that sometime. We should rank championship trophies.
Well, the Stanley Cup is one yeah,
by far.
Everything else is down here.
MLB's is kind of, yeah. I used to think it was cool with all the flags. I'm like, what do we, I don't really know.
Now that Costanza drove it around the parking lot, and then the commissioner called it a piece of metal.
Lombardi's cool, though.
It's cool. It's a good-looking trophy. But, I mean, the Stanley Cup you drink out of. I mean, I kind of can't be nothing better.
I think the NBA title's kind of nice, how, like, the basketball's off-center.
Yeah, that's kind of a cool one. Then the college one's a piece of wood.
Yeah, it's a big piece of wood.
It's a big piece of wood.
You're like, what? With a little bit? Yeah, what?
Well, it's a nonprofit. They can't afford the trophies, you know.
And then the
World Cup.
The college, that's a good one.
World Cup's probably my second.
The college football title, the Crystal Football.
Yeah.
I always thought that was going to be
cool. Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one.
That is a good one. But nothing beats the Stanley Cup. I mean, there's nothing.
913-586-7965. How are you doing to stay safe in Kansas City? We have been told about the roads. Nathan was kind enough to still make it in. Go slow. Take your time. Don't hurry. Call your boss if you want to and tell him you can't make it. And just listen to 96.5 The Fan. You can also check us out. We're live on the YouTube, on the Twitch, and also we're live on Radio Row in New Orleans, brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors. Kansas City is gearing up for its third straight title, and Academy Sports and Outdoors has everything you need to rep your team during their historic run. We do our weekly poll every Wednesday. That's right, it's Wednesday. You can vote at The Fan 96.5. Which one do you think is better, the po' boy, the etouffee, the beignet, or the gumbo? You take your pick. We'll give our answers on the other side here on Radio Row in New Orleans. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home, Kansas City Sports. That's a voice I love to hear. That was also the longest traffic report I've ever heard in my 8 years at this station. So please, Kansas City, stay safe on the roads. Take your time. That's what we're here for.
Yeah.
If you got to scoot into work and your boss is a Richard and says, get here now, tell him to kiss your ass.
I mean, every road was closed. Yeah. Did you hear that? 435 closed here. 435 closed there. 435 closed here. 435 closed there. 70 closed here. Like, it is a bad deal out there today, apparently.
You know,
you start getting texts from everybody like, oh, my God. It's like, just stay home, man. We've gotten to a level where you don't have to go to work.
Let it dissipate.
Right? Just let it dissipate. Stay inside. Stay safe. People can get stuff done from home, right?
You're
put
on
my
camera.
Shades on. That is true.
Stop slacking.
Get my glasses back
on. You can't come in here and lead into this. It's a vibe, and then start shedding the vibe.
Well, I was in the bathroom. I had to, you know, see things in there, so I took my sunglasses off. Speaking of seeing things, Jay Binkley, are you seeing things? Are you getting excited for Super Bowl week, my friend?
I left those glasses on.
Man, I'm getting so excited, but this weather this morning was a huge big bag of suck. So glad you guys are in New Orleans.
No, I believe it, man. Ice is – I'm no fan of ice. Man.
Ice is like, not nice.
No, no, even if it is vanilla. Binkley, what is if you could have one Creole meal, what would it be?
Oh, man, shrimp po' boy, man. I love – oh, dude. I found a place up here in Kansas City to get one, man. I'd love a shrimp po' boy. I have an uncle and a bunch of cousins down in Shreveport, Louisiana. So I'm like addicted to Cajun food. But the shrimp po' boy.
Would you go for the three-peat on po' boys if you were down here?
Yeah, didn't you eat one the other day? I saw you taking a picture of one.
Yeah, dude, I did. I was told to document the whole trip, so I'm sorry if it's a bit egregious, but yeah, that thing was nasty in a great way.
Dusty, there's a place up here up north called Mud Bugs, and it's about as authentic to I think people are from Louisiana or something because it's that authentic. But they have a great shrimp po' boy. They've got like a bassa po' boy. They've got kind of a barbecue po' boy. I mean, dude, I got to take you there. It's awesome. But I have a question for you, though.
Yeah.
Maggie Sajak or Kay Adams?
I mean, we'll find out today. I think Kay gets here at like 8 before she starts her show at 9. But, man, you gotta stick to your guns, man. Like, Maggie's a nice lady. Like, there was a good interaction. We had a good little chat up, but it's Kay, man. It's not close. It's like, she's just, man, she is who she is off the camera, on the camera. It's just an angel, okay? Just a complete angel.
Well, they're both elite.
Yes. Yes. If I could date Maggie Sajak and be on the show once a year,
That's a tough get, man, because big Wheel of Fortune guy. Big Wheel of Fortune. Let me ask you something. Philadelphia or Kansas City?
Kansas City.
Okay, why?
One, I'm from here, but here's the thing. It was weird. So I was having a dream. I mean, this is 100% true. 100% okay. true.
Did you wake up dry?
No, I wet myself because of this. Only because of this. But I left it on NFL Network, right? And they have Super Bowl. They were doing Super Bowl. They had Chiefs and Eagles Super Bowl from a couple years ago. So things are going on in the background or whatever, and you start to dream about them or whatever. I dreamt the Chiefs won 49-35. I know it's a ridiculous score. It doesn't make any sense. Both these defenses are awesome. But I was like, man, Patrick Mahomes just got his fourth ring. I mean, it seemed real. You ever have those dreams that seem so realistic?
Yep. Yep.
And then you wake up and you think you have a bunch of money in a drawer and you go in there and there's nothing. But I had that dream. It's a ridiculous score, but it's kind of funny.
No, I don't think you're off by saying this is a game that you feel that the Chiefs are going to win. Jay, it's a different atmosphere. And I know we've only been around the team one day, but I got enough sense to know this is a different game for Patrick Mahomes. I've said all morning long now and will be the theme kind of the rest of the week. This is Patrick Mahomes' legacy game. And when Patrick Mahomes wants to do something, who's ever told Patrick Mahomes no, he couldn't go out there and do it? And that's why I think this game is a Chiefs win, because this is all about Patrick Mahomes. This is what creates him as the greatest of all time, in my opinion, sets him apart from every other person who's ever played this game before. This is Patrick Mahomes' legacy game. And when all that's on the line, Patrick Mahomes tends to play big in huge games.
Yeah, pretty good for a guy that didn't make the Pro Bowl, right?
Right.
Not bad at all. But no, Patrick Mahomes lives for the big moments. And, like, he's all about it. And there's certain guys that, you know, have that DNA. You know, Michael Jordan, you know, had that DNA. Derek Jeter had that championship DNA. Yeah. Patrick Mahomes is right there with those guys. I mean, he's got that drive to be the best. And this he could have another chance, you know, with a three-peat, you know, later on in life. But there's no guarantees for it. But this is his one big opportunity. And, man, he looks completely locked in, like you were saying yesterday. I mean, just his attitude and demeanor and the way that he's going around things. But this is a business trip, man. I mean, this is something they thought about since last year. And it's tough to go against the Chiefs in these big games. I mean, this is what they do. It's what they win. And, you know, gets down to the fourth quarter. They win these type of games. It is hard to – look at Vegas. They always have them as the underdog. I mean, I think they're moved to the underdog again in this one, which is no big deal. But the Chiefs, you know, they don't cover games when they're the favorites a lot of times. Or they just find a way to win the game. I will take Andy Reid over Nick Sirianni. I'll take Patrick Mahomes over Jalen Hurts.
Right.
I will take – this championship DNA.
So, Jay, like when you look at the Patrick Mahomes and you know the legacy and all that kind of stuff that's on the line, are you with me that this does cement him as the greatest of all time? Or are you with Dusty who still says, Tom's got seven, that's pretty good?
You know what? I am with you on that, Bob. And, you know, we had that discussion about a year or so ago or 6 months ago. Remember when I was in there and I said how really close, just like two games defined Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady being tied? With rings. I mean, you think about it, the Tuck Rule game with the Raiders, the Tuck Rule game, which is a rule now that you can't do, but the Patriots got that ring because of that. So that's one more for Tom Brady. Then, of course, the head-to-head was a net positive for Tom and then negative for Patrick Mahomes. But there's so many close games. Say in that AFC title game, the D Ford's offsides, and Patrick Mahomes goes on and wins the ring. What if they win that game? The Rams were not the same team when they got to the Super Bowl. The Chiefs played a great game with them at 54-50 in the regular season. And what if Mahomes gets one there? I don't think people realize how close these rings could be if a few things happened here or there, but of course they didn't.
I think a lot of people forget also that Patrick Mahomes is 29 and still has a lot of time, which is not good for Tom Brady. So, I mean, I think Tom Brady can still be solidified as the GOAT. I think he still should be. But it's coming, right? Like, you're looking at your rearview mirror like, oh, crap, because what was it everybody said, Binkley? Like, when he lost to Tom in Tampa, it was like, well, now he can never catch Brady unless he were to win, like, an egregious three in a row. So now at least the conversation can be opened up again. It is no longer shut and closed. So I think that's
He needs to win this one. Needs to win this one.
Big time.
before 30 years old, heads and shoulders, he's the best quarterback all time.
Pinkley, last one for you. Level of scare, let's be honest, we can take the Chiefs class. Level of scare Saquon Barkley gives you?
Usually you start worried about these things. Just like Derrick Henry a few years ago in the playoffs. Oh, what are they going to do about Derrick Henry? He's going to run all over him. And he didn't. Look at the Chiefs have not allowed a 100-yard rusher this year. And a lot of times you think, oh, the running backs is going to be so dangerous against the Chiefs. And, yeah, there's been times where it looks like the run defense has been bad. And a lot of times this run defense has been good. But they shut down Alvin Kamara. They shut down all these running backs. Alvin Kamara is like 2 yards a carry against the Chiefs. Look at what they did to Derrick Henry the first time. Yes, Lamar Jackson had a good game, 122 yards in that game. But Derrick Henry did not. So I think Spags will focus in on stopping him. And A.J. Brown, yeah, Devontae Smith will get his yards like he did the last time that they played. But I think if you shut down A.J. Brown and you work on Saquon Barkley, he should be public enemy number one for this team.
Well, Binkley, you keep your ass inside, okay? You promised me that today. Stay safe, stay warm, and just keep falling asleep to NFL Network, and I'm not surprised that that's what you fall asleep
right.
to.
Go get a date with Kay Adams or Maggie Sajak.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, Binkley. We appreciate the time, brother. We love you.
See you, Jay. Be safe.
Bye, Bob.
That is Jay Binkley. Remember, you can watch us watch this show on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Twitch, presented by our partners at Technology Group Solutions, the official IT provider of your Kansas City Chiefs. And we are live on Radio Row in New Orleans, brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors. Kansas City is gearing up for their third straight title at Academy Sports and Outdoors. Has everything you need to rep your team during this historic run. Coming up on the other side, we talked to somebody from Philly. His name is Spike. You're going to want to listen to it because it's here next on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.